This morning, I want us to go through the scriptures. Today, by the grace of God, I believe, taking from what our Father in the Lord, that Gio, said during the week, and I was listening to him when he was preaching, that this church, and I thank God for the kind of message that we had last Sunday as well, and that we've been hearing this place, you know, that we need. That this church is a pastoral church. It's a church where when you leave church, you should have something to take home, to say, this is what I learned. You know, and that's why, you know, we thank God for how our Father and the Lord has been giving us series of teachings. You know, these teachings are for us to be able to have something to take home. They are not like, you know, messages. They are not like preaching, per se. You know, there's a difference between preaching. Anytime God wants him to preach, he preaches, but most of the time he teaches. Because in teaching, you are supposed, it's just like being in a classroom, we are supposed to have something to take home. If a student goes to class, and you know, always goes to class, listens to the teacher, and cannot say something that he has learned, then he's just wasting his time. You know, so that's why it is good also when you come to the church like this, have a note, write something. You don't have to write all, you know, every word that comes from the mouth of whoever is teaching. But at least there will be something. It may just be one sentence throughout the service. And that sentence may be the key to your destiny fulfillment. So I want to encourage us, when we come to church, let us be attentive. Let us look for something to benefit and maybe write it down, you know, so that you can reflect back on those things. Before I go, I want to appreciate our mother in the Lord who is in the house as well. I thank God for the grace of God upon her life and how God has been using her to support this ministry. I believe that the grace of God will still be multiplied upon her in Jesus' name. And where God is taking this ministry, the Almighty God is preparing her for it. And God will continue to prepare her for it in Jesus' name. And together we will be there in Jesus' mighty name. This morning I want to talk to us from the book of, let's open our scriptures to the book of Luke chapter 24. So I am believing God to be able to go a little more slowly today so that at least I will be able to convince myself that I've not rushed it and somebody should be able to learn something and hear something. The book of Luke chapter 24 from verse 46. Luke 24 from verse 46. And he said, yet it was written a long ago that his Messiah will suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message will be proclaimed in the authority. Let me read from King James Version. This is New Living Translation. I know some of us will be wondering, is this from the Bible? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will breathe upon your word today. We pray, Almighty God, that you will open the windows of heaven and let your word descend. Prepare our hearts to receive your word in Jesus' mighty name. And said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And then I will read the book of Acts of Apostle, just, you know, to remind us that the same Luke, the physician that wrote the book of Luke, is the same person who wrote the book of Acts of Apostle. So it looks like a continuation. If we go to the book of Acts of Apostle, chapter 1, it looks more like a continuation of what he was telling us in the book of Luke. And in verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4, let me read from verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Praise the Lord. And so today I want us to consider this topic that I have captioned. It took me some time to really conclude that, okay, let us title it, Tarry Ye in Jerusalem. Tarry Ye in Jerusalem. Or waiting on God. Waiting on God. Thank God for some of the prayers we have prayed today, waiting on the promises of God, and God fulfilling his promises. So many of the prayers we have prayed today, you know, have really taken care of the prayer time that we will have, you know, had at the end of this message. And thank God for the Spirit of God, for the unity of the Spirit. And so Jesus was asking the disciples, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem. We saw the same thing in the book of Luke chapter 24, and then in Acts 1, the same thing just came up again. Wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And so this morning, I want us to ponder on what the message Jesus was communicating to the disciples when he said, wait in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem. And I think Jerusalem to them, or to some of us, is like a location, the location that God wants you to be, the location that God has planted you. He has put you in a particular place. It may be in this church. That location may be in your family. That location may be, you know, maybe where you are working, your place of work. But Jesus was telling them about tarrying in a particular place, waiting in a particular place. He was telling them that there is a particular place where their promises will come and meet there. He was telling them there is a particular address that God Almighty is planning to come and disburse their package to there. So he was telling them about a particular location. It is possible that we are in situations today that we already know. If you look at that scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said that, let me read the entire verse, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So it means that they have actually heard about the promise from him. So maybe we have heard about God's promise. We are sure that, you know, where we are is where God has placed us. And the question remains whether we are sure that God has put us where we are. Because he said that, which ye have heard of me. And so a lot of times why we don't wait is because we are not sure whether God has put us there. And why are we not sure? It's because we have not heard from him. And so Jesus said, which ye have heard of me. Have we heard from God? And do we still hear from God? Is there any way that you know that, okay, God has told me this? And the challenge is to us today that as Christians, there are too many voices all over the place, but we need to be able to distinguish the voice of God. We need to be able to recognize that, okay, this is God talking to me. This God, you know, God speaks, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he speaks in diverse ways. God, you know, speaks in circumstances. He speaks, but you need to know how God speaks to you. He speaks by audible voice to some people. Some people have the privilege of hearing from him, you know, audibly. Sometimes he decides to speak to us by just the inner peace. You know, something that you are doing and you have peace. Sometimes you take a decision and you lose your peace. That may just be the way that God deals with you. But you need to develop it. You need to develop it. And the earlier that we start to develop it as Christians, the better. Because once you start to, it's just like a child that starts to walk. You know, that child, the legs of the child is not strong on the first day. And then gradually the legs begin to gain strength, gather momentum. That's the same thing with, you know, with hearing from God. That's the same thing with our walk with God. That's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit, with the gift of the Spirit. That's why the Bible says that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. So spiritual senses have to be exercised. Spiritual gifts have to be exercised for us to grow into it. Prayer should be exercised. It doesn't start, you know, it's not common. I know it is possible by the grace of God, but it's not common for somebody to just get born again today and then they can pray for 10 hours or they can pray for 20 hours. You know, just like a brother took a sister to a place to pray, and after they had prayed for about 1 hour or so in the spirit, and then the brother now said, "Now, sister, now let us now start praying." And then the sister was like, "What have we been doing in 1 hour?" You know, because it is training. It is exercising. And so hearing from God also calls for exercising. And we need to start to cultivate it as, you know, as Christians. Regardless of our age, we need to start to cultivate it. From the very day that we give our lives to Christ. Because God is speaking, but we are not hearing. And that is always my prayer, that I can hear and hear very well. Because once we hear, there are a lot of things that we do, they are guesses. They are guessworks. And that's why we gain some, we lose some. Because God usually wants us to gain every time. But we discover that a lot of times we gain some, we lose some. Because sometimes, you know, it's just what our mind is saying. It's not really what God is saying. And so my challenge to us as Christians this morning is, let us learn how to hear from Him. Once you know it, develop it. The focus of the teaching is not how to hear from God. And that's why I don't want to dwell on that. You know, I believe that, you know, we will still be able to do that maybe some other time. But let us learn to hear from Him. And once you know how God talks to you, begin to develop it. Begin to develop it. And so, Jerusalem is like a location to some of us. It's like a location. Some of us is like a place, you know, it's like our family. Some of us, we are so much under stress. Maybe, you know, we are suffering one affliction or the other. It may not be from your immediate family. Maybe, you know, it may not be spouse to spouse. It may be the extended family where God has planted you, that you feel like, oh, I think I want to break away from them. I don't have a responsibility, you know, towards them and all that. But Jesus was saying, tarry ye. Because there is always a reason why you are where you are. There's always a reason why you came from the family that you came from. There's always a reason. There's no mistake when it comes to God. Because the decision was not yours that you came through where you came through. You are not part of the decision. So why did God decide to do that? Some of us, we are like advanced teams, you know, to be able to pave the way for the generation coming behind us. But are we putting the footprints on the sand of time so that the generation coming behind us will be able to follow those footprints? And if we have, what kind of footprints are we putting on it? And so look at yourself this morning. I'm looking at myself this morning. Where am I standing? Where is Jesus saying that I should tarry? On what mountain is He saying that I should not give up? On what mountain is He saying that I have the responsibility there and I should go sort it out? Jerusalem to the disciples and to us today may be a promise that God has promised us. And God has promised, and we know it. Or maybe we don't know it. And then we now go before the Almighty God, and He tells us that, yes, this is my promise to you. He has promised to open the windows of heaven, but we don't see it open yet. He has promised to, you know, give us a breakthrough. He has promised to give us this land. He has promised to give us this mountain. There are so many promises, some that are personal. Some of us, maybe prophets, God has used prophets to talk to us. and we don't see them come to pass. It is similar to the situation of the disciples. So the Jerusalem where he said they should go and stand was like standing on his promise, waiting on the promise of God, waiting on the promise of God. To tarry, to believe that God has promised me and I'm going to wait there. I'm going to tarry there. There are instances when it does not appear like so. There are instances when it is supposed to be going towards that direction of the promises of God, but it's not going like that. But as long as we are sure that this is the promise of God, he's saying that, tarry ye. And that's why he said, ye have heard of me. Which ye have heard of me. Once we have heard of him, the simplest way to hear from him is from the word of God. Even if a prophet comes to tell us something, Brother Paul said, if we or an angel comes to tell you something contrary than what you have heard before, let him be anathema, let him be cursed. Because everything has to be judged by the word of God. So even if a prophet tells us something, it has to be judged by the word of God. So this morning, maybe you are wondering, oh, okay, so what is the promise that God has for me? The simple answer is that it is in the word of God. It's in the word of God. And it's on that word of God that he's saying they should go and stand. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Tarry ye on my word. Tarry ye on the things that you have heard of me. So it is a promise to some of us that God is encouraging us this morning. And don't give up. I have promised and I will do it. Don't give up. Tarry. Continue to tarry there. Even when it does not look like so, tarry. Sometimes it may be an assignment that God has given to us. And it does not look like it is growing as we saw it, as God showed us. You know, like our Father in the Lord used to tell us that God told him that this is going to be a 5,000-seater a church. And then the number is not looking like so today. But he keeps looking at it. He keeps reminding himself the promises of God. And he keeps encouraging us to see it like that. So it may be an assignment that God has given to us this morning that is saying that tarry there. Tarry there. Don't quit. Sometimes we quit too soon. And then we look back. And then things have become better. So I believe that this morning God is telling somebody that don't quit that assignment. Don't quit. Don't quit it. As long as you are persuaded of my presence with you there, don't quit it. Don't rush out. Sometimes we are too fast. We are too fast for God. We are too fast and we run ahead of him. And he keeps calling us and we keep running and running. So we quit. We quit. And so this morning, what is that assignment? It may be a church assignment here. We have different departments in the church. Don't quit. Thank God for the president of the men's fellowship. Thank God for the grace of God upon his life. Because up till now, it has not appeared so. We tried different methods to be meeting. Too many excuses, too many reasons. We went to Skype. Skype is not Skyping. Even those of us who want to call on Skype, Skype will even disappoint us. You know, but he still believes that something will come out of it. Because he knows that God has given him something. So it may not appear so, but as long as you know that this is the assignment God has given to me, please stay there. Because that is where he's going to come and meet you. That is where the promise is going to come and locate you. And it may be our secular jobs. It may be our businesses. Sometimes some of us are, maybe there is somebody here this morning, you are thinking of changing the location of your store. I don't think it sells in this place. The Bible says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness and they went to look for him. So maybe you are thinking of changing your duty post. You are thinking of relocating. And maybe God is telling you this morning, why don't you ask me whether you need to relocate? Why don't you ask me whether you need to relocate? You know, sometimes some people open, I know it used to happen very, you know, very commonly in Nigeria. That somebody has a store in a particular location and it looks like an unpopular place. And then all of a sudden the government decides to tar the road. And then it becomes a popular site. You know, and so the person who has decided to quit will now have to pay more for that land if they want to come back. We have to pay more for the shop or the store that they left behind. And so why don't we ask God whether it is time or not for us to relocate? So it may be the assignment, it may be the responsibility. And that's why in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 20, 1 Corinthians 7, 20, the Bible says that let every man abide in the same calling where he has been called. And so let everyone abide in the calling where we have been called. Let the one who has been called to pray, to lead prayer, let him lead the prayer and be satisfied. That's another lesson we need to learn from, you know, from what Jesus was telling the disciples. Let everyone abide in the same calling where he has been called. If you have been asked to come, you know, to be the usher, why don't you be there? Why don't you be there? Why don't you not feel that, why did they not say I should do this? Why did they not say I should do that? Let everyone abide in the same calling wherein he has been called. Because it is that same place that the anointing of God will be poured. Brethren, maybe I should remind us this morning that it is not until we come and begin to preach here that God can heal the sick through you or raise the dead through you. No. It is not until we begin to hold the mic every now and then that God begins to release his unction upon us. There are different manifestations of the gift of God. And the anointing of God comes for that manifest, for that dispense, for that particular grace, that particular assignment. And so it is not strange. I've heard of people, minstrels who will play the instrument, and the people will come with with crutches, will come on wheelchairs, and they will be healed while the minstrel is playing. So that is abiding in the grace that God has called him or called her. And then the anointing flows. And so Jesus was saying, abide there. Then what is Jerusalem? It is togetherness. He was asking them to go and stay together. Go and stay together. Abide in Jerusalem. And the Bible says they were there together in one accord. They were there together. They assembled together in one accord. He was saying, abide, stay together. And the challenge to us this morning is whether we are together. Are we together? Are we together? We are sitting down physically together, but are we together spiritually? Are we together? Are we together in our thinking? Are we together in the purpose? Are we together? We are in different departments, even in the church. Are we together? But he was asking them to go and stay together. He was telling them, he was teaching them unity. Stay together. Are we united? And sometimes we need to wonder why we don't experience the power of God like they did, they experienced in those days. Because they were together and the power of God fell on them. The promise of God came there and fell on them. The other lesson we can learn from there, that Jesus, the Bible says in Luke records that Jesus Christ led them as far as Bethany. Let me go back to that Luke so that we can, Luke 24. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And the Bible says in 52, and returned to Jerusalem with joy, with great joy. So they returned back. He led them as far as Bethany. And then he was taken up from there. And then they returned back to Jerusalem. They did not say, why did he now lead us out? This is a way of escape. Let's just scatter. They did not scatter. They did not disappear. Like some people, you know, disappear. They did not disappear. The Bible says they returned back to Jerusalem and then they stayed there together. Are we returning back? Are we obedient? So it was a lesson of obedience. It was a trial of their obedience that he led them out and then he ascended and then they returned. That was the first obedience on their part. And their obedience was rewarded. Are we obedient even when we don't think that God is there? Because Jesus was no longer there. He had been taken away. Do we still remember to go back? Do we still remember to do the things that we have heard? Do we still do it? So it was a message of obedience that he was teaching them, that he led them out. And when I was wondering, I was meditating on this place, you know, the account of this group of people in the book of Jeremiah chapter 35 came to me and to my mind. The Bible describes them as the Rechabites. The Bible says that God sent Jeremiah to them. Because of time, I'm not going to read it. Jeremiah 35. I know most of us, not all of us, we know the story. When God sent Jeremiah to these Rechabites, and he said, go and tell them. Go and invite them to the house of God and give them wine and let them drink wine in my house. And they told Jeremiah, they said, our father told us that we should not drink wine. We should not build houses. And they started telling him, not only the wine, they told him so many things that their father told them. And searching through this, you know, the scriptures and the commentary of the scriptures, I found out that it was 200 years after their fathers had told them. It was 200 years after. Their father was Jonadab, the same guy who helped Jehu, you know, to destroy the idols of Baal. 200 years before that time, and he had told them, this is the heritage. Don't drink wine. Don't build houses. They were nomads, you know, like those Katuriaras that, you know, some of us know them from another part of Nigeria. They moved from one place. They would not build houses. They were like, these people were like that. They were moving from place to place. They said, our fathers told us not to build houses. He told us also not to drink wine. So they were obedient. And God used them as an example to the children of Israel. That's what he wanted to say. I mean, to teach the children of Israel. That's why he sent Jeremiah to them. Go and see the example of obedience. That even 200 years after, they did not forget. They did not. And so sometimes we forget so soon that the person who promised, God that promised us, there is a place where he wants us to stay. There is a place where he wants us to abide. There is something that he wants us to be doing. A lot of times, the time, you know, when we look at the promises of God, there is something that you are doing where God promised you. It is not always good to leave that thing you are doing when God promised you. When God promised you, what were you doing at that time? What were you doing? And that's why when David became king, he was a shepherd, and he did not, that calling was all over, it was all over him throughout, as a shepherd over Israel. And so, what were you doing? What are you doing now when God is promising you? Abide in it. Abide in it, because there's something in particular that God saw, and that's why God gave you that promise. Jerusalem to them was a preparation. Jesus was telling them to go and stay and be prepared. We don't want to be, you know, it's, the politician doesn't want to prepare for debates. And that's how it is. It is the preparation is, you know, most of the time, it calls us from who we really are. It calls us out from the way of life, the way we want to live our lives. It brings us out of it. Most of the time, preparation calls us out from the regular, from the routine. It keeps us in one place. These people were put in one place. I don't know whether they did not even have any job. Maybe, you know, some of them should have their jobs. But they were together in one place for preparation. So they must be losing, you know, physically speaking, losing out in some of the things of the world. Because they wanted to obey God, they were together to be prepared. And so God is preparing somebody. Are we staying under that preparation? Are we patient enough to be prepared? Or do we just go out? We just jump out. Oh, I've learned enough. Like, you know, the proverbial, you know, bus conductors in Nigeria. They said they don't ever wait to be graduated. As long as they can step on the accelerator, they won't come to work till the following day. And then you see them driving. You see, are we graduating ourselves too soon from the prep? Do we think that we have learned enough and then we want to go and show it? But Jesus was calling them for a preparation for launching. He was calling them for a preparation to be equipped so that when they are launched out, they will perform well. And so that is talking about what Jerusalem can represent to us and what it meant to them. Sometimes it can be very difficult, and we have to be honest with ourselves. It can be very difficult to wait where God wants you to wait. It can be very, very difficult, very, very challenging for us to abide where He wants us to abide. I know that all of us have had times of waiting. Some of us are still waiting for one thing or the other. And sometimes it looks as if they don't know what I'm feeling. But the Bible says that there's no temptation that has befallen you that is peculiar to you. It is common to man. It is common to man. Some of us have been waiting for something, and then you hear, sometimes when it's good for, I don't know how many of us watch the Holy Ghost service, when people are sharing testimonies, and you want to pack your own. You want to pack it. Because you will hear somebody says, maybe this person has been waiting on the Lord for fruit of the womb for 5 years. And then somebody comes and says, in fact, their own case, they have the menopause has come. The, you know, everybody has packed. The husband has, you know, gone home. Or the wife will say, you know, and then that is the time. And then you now wonder whether you are actually alone. And so the message this morning is that you are not alone. You are not alone. There is somebody out there who has a more challenging experience, a more challenging testimony. And so it is not always easy to wait. One of the reasons is because there are distractions. There are distractions. When we are waiting, there are too many things that will distract us from waiting. Too many things. Brother Paul was writing to the Ephesians church in Acts 20. He said, after my departure will wolves come, not even sparing the flock. And so, after we have been told of the promises of God, after we have read the scriptures, we know the promises of God, distractions will come, wolves will come. Will not spare even the church, not even spare the flock. And so it becomes difficult for us to wait. It also becomes difficult for us to wait sometimes because the alternatives appear very simple, very easy. The alternative to waiting is not to wait. The alternative to waiting is to use the alternative that is there. That was what happened to Abraham. Alternative to waiting, Genesis 16. And Sarah said, why wait? Why wait when we can do something? Why wait? In the book of Genesis, why wait? So the alternative was around. The alternative is always around. And it's always simpler. It's always easier. But the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end of it, there are ways of destruction. And so, let us be sure that it is God's option. Let us be able to draw a line between what is of God and what is the devil's alternative. So the alternatives are always there and they are simple. And Abraham went into Hagar and she conceived and bore a child and bore a lot of affliction to the world. That's what it means. To opt for the alternative is to opt for something that may not end. To hope for, you know, something, a wound that we may continue to nurse. Even after we now return back and then we obtain the promise. Can you imagine that there was no way to wipe away Hagar from history? No way to wipe him away, to wipe her away, to wipe the seed away. Even when Abraham now returned back and got the promise, the alternative is still here with us. Sometimes it's difficult to wait because we are not even sure that we received it from God. You know, just like we read from the book of Acts of Apostle 1, verse 4. We are not even sure that we received it from God. And I think I've said that enough, that we need to know when God is telling us. And let's wait there. People will come and suggest to us. They will give us different, you know, so many ways out of it. So many ways. I remember when, you know, I was there, my wife, children, they were back in Nigeria. You know, people started coming up with different ways to get, you know, they said so many roads lead to, you know. Yeah. People will come and tell you, oh, how you can do this, how you can do that, how you can do this, how you can do that. You know, it was not easy waiting. I was in the classroom. I was still a student. I was in the classroom one day and then I did not know. I think maybe I called them or they sent me a text message. They were somewhere hiding. My wife was hiding. She went to, you know, my children's school to carry them. And then they were going back home and there was an armed robbery kind of thing somewhere. They were hiding somewhere. You can imagine how that would be so, you know, so terrifying to me. This is a distance where you cannot quickly say, I'm dashing down. You know, no, it's not possible. Even if you have a private jet, it's not going to get there immediately. It's not going to get there. So, waiting can be very, very challenging. But when you know that God has sent you somewhere, you know that the same God will make a way out of it. And I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who is waiting, who is tarrying, I pray that the Almighty God will give you the grace to continue to tarry in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that that same God will make it to happen to you suddenly in Jesus' name. Amen. Waiting can appear so timeless. Jesus did not tell them how many days they should wait for. He said, go and tarry in Jerusalem. He did not tell them how many days. It was after it happened to them, after the Holy Spirit came, that they now knew that, oh, so we waited 120 days. He did not tell them before that time that it will be 120 days. As a matter of fact, I think it was in the book of Luke, somewhere in the book of Luke, where he said that they will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost after many days ends. That is, you know, that's how the King James translation puts it. After many days ends. What is how many days? What is how many days? So how many days can be to some a few minutes? Few seconds, few hours, a whole week, a month, so many years. But you see, one thing is that if he has said it, he's going to do it. It can be difficult to wait because every divine seed is troubled. Every divine seed is troubled. Every divine assignment is troubled. Moses was a divine seed. He was troubled from, you know, the very, very, very little age. He was going to be killed by Pharaoh. Jesus was going to be killed by Herod. Every divine seed is trouble. And so it is always difficult to wait. Because that's your waiting. That's your promise will be troubled. I know some of us have had experiences when we knew that God has said that, okay, this is going to be my wife. This is going to be my you know, my husband. And then our parents disagreed. You know, some of us have went through that experience. Our parents disagreed. Ah, it can be very, and you know how you'll be so passionate that, it has to happen. But your parents are not seeing like that. They are not seeing like that. And so it can be very, very difficult. When you know that it's a divine seed, it can be really, really troubled. So it becomes difficult to wait. But what do we do while we are waiting before our time runs out? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, the Bible says that Sarah judged him faithful, that promised. We need to judge him faithful. The one who has promised us, we need to judge him faithful. We need to judge him faithful. Faithful means that he's going to do it. That is what it means by judging him faithful. We have judged him that he is faithful. That is what we do while we are waiting. While we are waiting, what do? We do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. We do not forsake the presence of God. And then talking about forsaking the assembly of the brethren, I think the message also to us here this morning is that if people don't forsake us, if people don't forsake our assembly, don't we forsake them? Don't we have people who are going through situations and who don't want to forsake us, but as a body of believers, have we not forsaken those people? Have we not left them to suffer alone? People are looking for where to, somebody to lean on. Have we not relieved ourselves of them, of their hold? Because we believe that we have our own that we are carrying. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. And that is how we can continue to hope. That's why how we can continue, to be expectant, to stand, to tarry in Jerusalem. But somebody is doing that, but they cannot even find a place in the body of Christ where they can belong, where somebody will share their body, where somebody will share their passion, where somebody can pray along with them. How many times have you prayed for your sister, for your brother? How many times? We were talking this morning during the workers' class, just to encourage us, even as workers, when it comes to pray for the church, pray for members of the church, because we come together as a group of workers, we pray for the church. We pray for the church. We pray for every member of the church as well. But when it doesn't concern us, it's not my own personal prayer point. When it is not my own personal prayer point, then we don't get passionate about it. That's where it starts from. That people are looking for a place to belong, but they don't find a place to belong. And that is what we need to be able to continue to tarry. What do we do while we are waiting? We keep ourselves pure. 1 John 3, verse 3. The Bible says, every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. So we have to purify ourselves because we are looking unto him. We are open for the promise to be fulfilled. So we need to keep ourselves pure. That's how we can obtain the promise. And then lastly, what do? We look out for the promises. Let us not live as if he has not promised. Let us not do as if we don't have a hope. Let's not do as if we don't have a hope. Let's not act as if there is nothing good that can happen tomorrow. Let us not surrender. Let us not succumb to the situation. Let us look out. Let us look forward to the promises of God. And I pray that even as we look forward to his promises, that his promises concerning us will be yea and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning, what are we talking about? Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem. This morning, I want to encourage you. Are you waiting? Continue to wait because your rewarder is coming. Are you tarrying in Jerusalem? Have you found your Jerusalem and you are there, you are still waiting? Continue to wait there. Don't accept the alternatives. Don't accept the alternatives of men, the alternatives of the devil. Because the same God that promised you, the same God of Jerusalem will come and locate you there. I pray this morning for us all that are here, that are waiting on him, that the grace will continue to wait. Brethren, this morning I've said it out of my heart to us that it is not easy to wait. It is not easy to wait. Let us not deceive ourselves. But we need the grace of God. And so this morning I want you to rise up on your feet and just